when Tim originally said something to me about speaking today, I first was kind of like, what? We've been married 27 years, and we've actually done sermons together, but I've never spoken in front of one of our churches that we've served. So I count this a high privilege that he would ask me. And then when we started talking about what series he was in, I got excited because Abigail and this passage is one of my favorite accounts of a woman in the Bible. And it starts, and if you look at verse 3, it says, we're introduced to Abigail, and the first thing that we're told about her is that she's sensible and beautiful. Well, beautiful, that's not, you know, she didn't do anything to deserve that, maybe. That was what she was born with. And there are other women in the Bible that are described by their physical characteristics. But this is one of the only times in the Bible that a woman is described with this word, sensible, which actually can be Tim's taking a picture of me and it just distracted me. Sorry, guys. It actually can be translated intelligent or wisdom. So Abigail is described as a woman of intelligence and wisdom. And that's something that she wasn't born with naturally. It's something she got because she chose to follow God and follow his commands. And so we are introduced to this story, and we meet these characters, and we know who David is because he's killed the giant. And here he comes to this man, and it seems like an odd request. He's asking Nabal for food, basically, food for his men. But when you dig a little deeper in that, David and his men had been protecting Nabal's property. They had been in the wilderness in the same area, and so David and his men offered their protection to Nabal. But when David comes to him and requests that he offers hospitality, Nabal refuses. And that was pretty bad. That would have been a slight. But Nabal takes it one step further, and he doesn't just refuse David hospitality. He actually insults him, and he denies David's right to the kingdom. And he basically tells David that I'm going to stand against you as a political opponent, and I'm going to side with Saul in this conflict that's going on in the region at the time. So Nabal sets himself up as an opponent to David, and David's response is extreme and quick. He goes back, he gets 400 men, and this passage doesn't really tell you a lot about these men, but they were warriors. These are men that had fought battles, they had killed giants, not just David, but other men, and they were basically warriors. And he says, I'm going to go take care of business. I'm done. I've protected this guy, and now I'm going to take care of things. And in the midst of this situation, we have this servant who comes to the mistress of the house, the female of the house, the wife, and to Abigail, and he says, you need to take care of this. And he says this in a way, he asks her kind of a question. He says, you need to know what happened, and you need to decide what you're going to do. And I think that that question right there, what are you going to do, is going to be a question that we all have to answer in our lives. And if we look through the Bible, we see in almost every character, we see that there came a point in their lives where they had to answer the question, what are you going to do? Eve had to answer it in the garden. She had to say, am I going to believe God or am I going to believe the lies that Satan is telling me? What are you going to do? Esther was put in a position of power as the queen over the land, and when her people were threatened, she had to answer the question, what are you going to do? Will you side with this and be safe, or will you side with your people? And we see that over and over again in the Bible. Mary, the mother of Jesus, when the angel came to her, she had to answer the question, what are you going to do? Are you going to believe God's promises and what the angel's telling you? Or are you going to live in fear and deny this? And Abigail is asked that same question, and she has to answer it. What is she going to do? And she does this using two different things. She uses her actions and she uses her words. And the first we see her actions. And I love this. It says, she wasted no time. Abigail acted decisively. Some of you, if y'all have been out to eat with us, know this about me. I am not decisive at all. As in, a couple of weeks ago, Tim and I were in a store, in a sports store, and he was looking at hats. And I picked up this hat, and I said, you know, and it was a style. There were several different ones with that same style. And I said, I kind of like this. And he looked at me and he said, 2 months ago when I showed you that hat, you didn't like it. I was like, well, you know, it kind of, you know, so if you have something and you want me to like it, and I tell you I don't the first time, just keep bringing it to me. Eventually, I'll change my mind. I mean, you know, I'm just not decisive. But Abigail was decisive. She didn't stop to ask somebody's advice. She didn't call her girlfriend and say, what should I do in this situation? She acted, and she acted decisively. Then we see, and she acted personally. It says, she wasted no time, and then she tells her servants to go ahead. I will follow you shortly. And I just want to take a step out and talk specifically to mamas today. God has uniquely called, gifted, and qualified you to be personally in your children's lives. There is nobody out there that can mother those children better than you. And we need to be personal when we're dealing with conflict like this. This was a giant in Abigail's life, and she had to act personally on that and what she decided that she would do. And the third thing is that she acted humbly. When she comes to David, she gets off of her donkey, and the scripture says she bowed low. And if you look other places, that literally means she got on her face before David. Now, she was a wealthy woman. Her husband was a landowner and probably had influence in the area. She did not have to do that. But I think she did it for a couple of reasons. One, I think she was truly a lady of humility, because we see that in some other places. But the second reason, I think, is by doing that, she acknowledges that David is the rightful king of Israel and that one day he will be her king. And so everything that Nabal stripped away with his words, Abigail returns to David. So we see this, and we see her go before David, and then she uses the most powerful weapon in her arsenal, and that's her words. We just finished a ladies' Bible study called Girls with Swords, and the entire Bible study was on how our words can be swords to influence those around us. And the very first thing she does is she says to David in verse 24, I accept all blame in this matter. Now, she had no blame in this matter, other than she was married to a fool, and even in that day, she didn't choose to marry him. She was given in marriage to him. So she had no blame in this. This was not her fault. But she looks at David and she says, I will accept the blame because I'm going to intercede for myself and my household and even my husband between you and this vengeance. I'm going to stand in between you. When my boys were young, the first Bible verse we taught them is Proverbs 15:1. And it says, the version that we taught them, it says, a soft answer turns away wrath. But in the NLT, I like this. It says, a gentle answer deflects anger, but harsh words make tempers flare. And we used to tell them that in situations like this, the situation is kind of like a fire. The conflict is like a fire. And our words can either be water on that fire, if they're soft and they're gentle, or they can be gas. And we can just blow the whole place up. And I think Abigail knew that. I think she knew that when she went before David, she needed to use gentle words that would appeal to him. She goes on, and one of the biggest things I think as women that we can do in those around us is we can appeal to a higher calling in their life. We all know people that maybe aren't doing what they need to do. Maybe they're making poor decisions. And the reality is we can all appeal to a higher calling in their lives. And that's what Abigail did. She looks at David and she said, you've not done wrong throughout your whole life. You've never taken vengeance. Don't do it now. Don't let this be a blemish on your record. And then she calls him to the future and says, and when the Lord has done these great things for you, remember me. She calls him to a higher calling and to a place of honor. The thing about this story that's so interesting is this is so outside of David's character. In chapter 24, if you read that chapter, David had an opportunity to kill Saul, and he didn't take it. And then if you flip ahead and you read chapter 26, David had another opportunity to kill Saul, and he didn't take it. So this scripture is set and bracketed by that, and we see David's character in that. He could have taken the throne years before he actually got the throne, but he chose not to. And Abigail knew that, and she called him to remember that and to remember what his calling was. I love the story of Abigail. When I read it and began to really read through it and study it, it has become one of my favorite stories in the Bible. She's one of my favorite characters in the Bible because of what she does through her life. And the great thing about it is we see the whole story. We read the beginning and the end. But you know, when Abigail was alive with David, she didn't know how this would end. But she was taking one step and one step and one step of faith. She was following God all along the way. And that's what we have to do in our lives. You may think, I don't really have any significant influence. I don't really have anybody I'm influential over or situations. But I don't really think that's the truth. So what I'd like you to do this week is I'd like you to take some time and I'd like you to stop and take an inventory, get alone with God, and just really inventory your life. And what I'd want you to do is to take some time and reflect on your actions. And I want you to think if your actions are the kind of actions that call people and influence people to a higher calling. I want you to stop this week and think about your words. And that, I will be honest with you, that is what trips me up every time. If I could just keep my mouth shut, we'd be much better off most of the time. But this week, I want you to stop and think about your words and think, are your words the kind of words that are nudging people toward God? Are your words the kind of words that are influencing people toward God and toward the things that He has for us in our lives? And then I want you to answer the question that Abigail had to answer. What are you going to do? I know in a crowd this size, there are probably people out there that have big things that they have to make decisions on, and there are little things that you have to make decisions on. But I want you to really think about what God is calling you to do and how He's asking you to follow Him. Because that's what Abigail did. She knew that she needed to follow God. She didn't know how this would end. She didn't know the rest of the story, but she knew she needed to follow God. And so what I want to do is pray for us this morning. Father, I thank you for this opportunity to stand before this group of people. I thank you for this church, for what they mean in our lives, in our ministry. Father, I pray this week that you would help us to be men and women of influence, that you would help us to use our actions to draw people to you and our words to point to you, that we would answer the question, what are we going to do? That we are going to be people that follow you even in difficult times. I thank you for everything you've done.
Well, let's keep praying for just a moment here. There are some here who have come and have never received Jesus and taken that step. We asked, what are you going to do? And some have not taken that first step of faith that says, all right, Lord, I trust you with my life. I surrender my life to you. I've sinned and I need your forgiveness. So I put myself in your hands and I come humbly before your cross. So I'm going to pray for you right now. I'm going to pray with you. And if you're ready to do that, and I pray you are for the first time, you just want to pray to the Lord and just talk to him as a friend, as one who hears, and invite him into your life. A prayer, something like this. There's no exact words, no magic words. It's a matter of the heart. So just pray. Father, I have sinned. I have messed up. And Jesus, I believe you're God's Son. I do believe you died for my sins and rose again from the dead. So I receive your forgiveness now. I ask you to be my Lord, to be my Savior, to forgive me and lead my life. As best I know right now, I put my life in your hands and I trust you. Send your Holy Spirit to live in me, to guide me and show me the way and to be with me. I praise you, Lord, for being my great God and my Savior and keeping your promises. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. All right.